Time for another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92. And this morning we're going to talk with Lisa Kuchenmeister from Johnson Memorial Health Services over there in Dawson. And Lisa, thanks for coming in the studio again.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
You've been like a regular on Wellness Wednesday.
Yeah. Do you have a job for me?
Yeah. Well, you have to talk to Carrie about that. So, yeah, we'd love to have you here. But I know how much you enjoy your job.
I love my job. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself first, Lisa.
Grew up, education,
that kind of stuff.
I grew up in Dawson, graduated from Dawson Boyd, and
cheerleader too, weren't you?
I was for wrestling. Yes,
wrestling.
Yes. And went off and got my degree in psychology, and
here you are.
Here I am.
There you are. You love what you do?
I love what I do.
Good. Yes. All right. Well, we're going to talk about a kind of a heavy subject today, aren't we?
Correct.
It's necessary to talk about, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So, what's the subject?
Suicide awareness and prevention.
Okay. So, Lisa, what are some facts about that?
Well, in the United States, suicide is consistently among the leading causes of death. It affects people of all ages, genders, and backgrounds. The most important finalized national total before the full 2025 report was over 48,000 suicide deaths at a rate of about one death every 11 minutes.
Wow.
Suicide was the 11th leading cause of death overall in the U.S. in 2023. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for people ages 10 to 34 in the U.S. Males continue to account for nearly 80% of suicide deaths, with rates about four times higher than females. And many people who experience suicidal ideation do not actually want to die. They often want relief from intense emotional pain.
Mm. Lisa, what's a definition of suicide, would you say?
Suicide is the intentional ending of your own life. Mm. And like I said in the statistics, suicide does not discriminate. Individuals of all genders, ages, and ethnicities can be at risk. Suicidal behavior is complex, and there's no single cause. Various factors may contribute to someone attempting suicide. Some of the main risk factors include depression, other mental health disorders, substance abuse disorders, certain medical conditions, chronic pain, a prior suicide attempt, a family history of mental illness or substance abuse, a family history of suicide, family violence, and much more. Although many individuals may experience some of these risk factors, most do not attempt suicide. It is important to understand that suicide is not a normal response to stress. Suicidal thoughts and behaviors are signs of a severe emotional distress, not attempts to seek attention, and they should always be taken seriously and never ignored.
So what are the warning signs, Lisa?
Well, there are many warning signs, Paul, and it is important to recognize them because early intervention can help save lives. Warning signs may include talking about wanting to die or kill oneself, looking for ways to end one's life, such as searching online or purchasing a gun, expressing feelings of hopelessness or having no reason to live, feeling trapped or in unbearable pain, or talking about being a burden to others. Other signs may include increased use of alcohol or drugs, reckless behavior, changes in eating or sleeping habits, withdrawing from family and friends, feelings of isolation, uncontrolled anger or agitation, talking about revenge, extreme mood swings, loss of interest in activities, or losing the ability to experience pleasure. So if you notice any of these warning signs in someone, it is important to take them seriously. Reaching out, listening without judgment, and encouraging professional support can make a meaningful difference and may help save a life.
Okay, when I think of suicide, just talk about the stigma it has.
Sure. Suicide carries a stigma and a sense of shame that must be addressed openly and compassionately. According to the American Counseling Association, many people, including youth, may think about suicide at some point in their lives. When individuals become overwhelmed by their struggles, they may begin to feel trapped, helpless, or hopeless. Often, people experiencing suicidal thoughts are not seeking death itself. Rather, they want relief from emotional pain and suffering. Although every person's experience is different, many individuals who struggle with suicidal ideation have difficulty believing that their situation can improve or that things could even get better. If you are concerned that someone may be experiencing suicidal thoughts or feelings, it is important to reach out and connect with them. Sometimes individuals share these feelings in confidence and ask others not to tell anyone. However, keeping suicidal thoughts a secret can place someone at a greater risk. Safety must always come first. Listening without judgment, offering support, and encouraging professional help can make a significant difference. Suicide is preventable, and early intervention can help save lives.
So how do you, Lisa, address the topic of suicide then?
Well, it is normal to feel anxious or uncomfortable when approaching someone you are concerned about. Remember, the goal is to not solve the person's problems or to have all the right answers. The goal is to show genuine compassion, support, and concern. There are several ways to do this. First is to notice. Say, "I've noticed that you've been," and then describe the specific behavior or language that concerns you. This shows the person that you are paying attention and that you care. Then ask, "Is everything okay?" Keep them safe. Help reduce access to lethal means or dangerous places whenever possible. Limiting access to highly lethal items such as firearms or medications is an important part of suicide prevention. Show care. Say things like, "I'm concerned about you. This is not typical for you. You are important to me." Let the person know that you care and validate their feelings or experiences that they share. Listen carefully, acknowledge their emotions, and try to understand what they are thinking and feeling. Ask directly. You can say, "Sometimes when people are feeling lonely or depressed, they think about suicide. Are you thinking about suicide?" Asking someone directly about suicidal thoughts does not increase the likelihood that they will act on them or put those ideas in their head. Instead, it opens the door for honest conversation and support. If someone tells you they are suicidal, it is important to take immediate action, even if they ask you to keep it a secret. Depending on the person's age, you may adjust your wording. For example, with a younger child or an adolescent, you might ask, "Do you ever think about dying?" or "Do you ever think about hurting yourself?" When the person is younger and expressing suicidal thoughts, involve a trusted parent, guardian, or caregiver as soon as possible. You might say, "Let's talk to your parent and come up with a plan together." After listening and offering support, contacting a parent or guardian should be an important next step. Work together to create a clear action plan that ensures the youth's safety and support. And most importantly, follow up. Checking in after the initial conversation is extremely important. Follow-up conversations help reduce stigma, encourage openness, and create a supportive environment where the person feels safe reaching out in the future. Research has shown that ongoing support and follow-up can reduce the risk of suicide. Supporting someone who is suicidal can also be emotionally overwhelming and stressful for the helper. It is important to seek support for yourself as well. Talking with a trusted friend, counselor, or mental health professional about your own experience can help you process your emotions and continue supporting others in a healthy way.
So how do you respond to an individual who is showing those signs then?
Well, listen without trying to solve. People often need space to be heard more than they need immediate solutions. Reflecting back what they're saying, such as, "That sounds overwhelming," can help them feel understood. Validate their emotions, not necessarily conclusions. You don't have to agree with everything they believe about the situation to acknowledge that their feelings are real and meaningful. Stay present and calm. Even if the content is intense or unclear, a steady, non-judgmental tone helps reduce escalation and isolation. Gently encourage outside support. Offering options like a counselor, doctor, trusted person, or a community resource can be more effective than pushing a single solution. Know your role and limits. Being supportive doesn't mean carrying responsibility for fixing things. It's okay to stay within what you can realistically offer. Check for immediate safety when appropriate. If someone indicates they might harm themselves or someone else, it becomes important to encourage urgent professional or emergency help.
And here are some key points you can make in the conversation.
We all go through tough or scary times. Sometimes people feel like they are the only ones struggling with life's challenges. helping them recognize that everyone goes through difficult periods can reduce isolation and stigma and reinforce that their feelings are valid and understandable. It's also okay to ask for help. This helps normalize the idea that needing support is a part of being human. Asking for help is a strength, not a weakness. Saying things such as, "I'm here for you." From the beginning, it's important to let the person know you are available to listen without judgment. Often people simply need to feel heard and not alone in what they are experiencing. And help them connect to support. Encourage practical next steps by sharing resources such as the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline and the Crisis Text Line. You can also help them connect with a trusted person such as a family member, friend, spiritual advisor, or a mental health professional. I have a list of resources that I'm going to provide at the end for further support.
Tell me about crisis management safety planning, Lisa.
Sure. Crisis and or safety planning has been shown to help reduce suicidal thoughts and actions. Individuals can work with a caregiver or someone they trust to develop a plan that describes what to do in the event of a crisis. The safety plan includes identifying early warning signs, such as thoughts, images, moods, behaviors, that crisis might be happening. When things are really breaking down, what coping strategies can the individual do to distract and take their mind off their problems and feel calm? Then add people that they can call to ask for help. Make sure there's a name and a phone number. Have a list of professionals that they can call to ask for help. Include their names and phone numbers. Also have included is the things that he or she needs to do to make their environment safe, and the two biggest reasons for living. Now, in the event of a crisis, create a calm environment, gather information about the crisis, normalize the individual's feelings, ensure safety, involve caregivers if possible, and develop an intervention with support and coping mechanisms to help with the immediate stressors, and engage and coordinate with others to take steps to help manage any possible future crisis.
So what are some resources then?
Having access to a list of mental health providers and or agencies in your area are greatly important. And here are a few other resources and phone numbers to call for services in the event of needing to use them. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. The 988 Lifeline cell. Text, chat at the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. The Crisis Text Line's number is 741-741. There's the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, which is afsp.org. And always remember, 911 is best for urgent safety concerns.
Wow, that's a lot of resources there.
Yes.
So how can people get a hold of you, Lisa?
Well, I am available at two locations, Johnson Memorial Health Services in Dawson. And to schedule an appointment, you can call 769-4393 and Madison Healthcare Services. To schedule an appointment there, you can call 598-7551.
All right. Like we said, a heavy subject to talk about, but
yes,
it's necessary to talk about, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Lisa, thanks for coming in again. Appreciate it. Nice seeing you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me again. Paul, yeah, always a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
Perfect.
Lisa Kuchenmeister from Johnson Memorial Health Services. And that's another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92.